Hi, Nick. How's it going?
All good. All good. Our first podcast.
First podcast for 3D Design Bureau. Very excited.
Yeah. For all, how many listeners are we going to have for our first one?
I'd say we'd have at least four now for the first one. So if you're one of those four people.
You, me, Sam, and someone else.
I'm sure my mom will watch now as well. She's my biggest fan. But welcome all to 3D Design Bureau's first ever podcast. Yeah, hopefully we do get more than four listeners, but we'll keep going till we do. By way of introduction, this is Nick Polly, our Managing Director. I'm Kevin Kavanagh. I'm the Marketing Manager of 3D Design Bureau here. So it's just an opportunity for myself and Nick to shoot the breeze on all things, I suppose, surrounding the AEC sector here in Ireland and abroad, and all things 3D design, which is what we do. So, Nick, you've been involved in the business for, set up the business over 20 years ago. 22 years, is it?
22, yeah, 22nd birthday last week. Wow, yeah, so it's been, that was a big milestone. You know, 22 years in business is no mean feat. So, yeah, it's good to get to that. There's been, you know, highs and lows along the way, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, as they say. So the recession didn't kill us when we came out. We've come out of that stronger. And over the last 5 or 6 years in particular, we've really grown, I think, into something quite special. And like the vision I had back 5, 6 years ago of, you know, rising out of the ashes, so to speak, and it's coming together, and we've built and continue to build a very good team. So yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride. I'm sure it'll continue to do so as the industry evolves and changes, and technology evolves and talent evolves, and look, and you get blindsided by legal issues on some of the stuff we do now. So, you know, working across, you know, the planning sector and marketing sector and BIM and virtual tours and stuff, you know. You definitely do see an awful lot of stuff, and you see an awful lot of evolution and at a very quick pace as well. Things move at a lightning speed in this industry, you know. So it's really good. So hopefully, I'm hoping the podcast will sort of give a bit of an insight into what we do, and then also, I suppose, tips and ideas and pinch points for anyone trying to get into the industry and people we work with. It'd be great, actually. Remember, we did discuss about potentially getting industry experts on, like planning consultants or landscape architects or clients. You know, that would be good if we managed to build our audience. Kevin, that's your job.
Hey, it's day one, all right? It's day one.
Yeah, true. But it would be really good to get other insights into it, because you know, I think we have a real obsession with property in this country, you know what I mean? You know, like, I'm an engineer by profession. I wanted to do architecture and didn't get near the point, so fell into engineering. And then when I left college, I fell into the world of 3D and architecture visualization, which is a different beast now than it was back then. It was more simple back then. It was somewhat in its infancy 22 years ago. It wasn't being used widespread, but that's completely changed now. You know, it's widespread on all everything to do with property. There's some form of visualization, whether that be, you know, your Matterport tours or full-on off-plans virtual tours, or planning imagery and daylight sunlight and building information modeling. So like it's standard practice now. You for example, you won't see a planning application going in without imagery, planning imagery, presentation imagery, daylight sunlight. So it's completely changed to what it was, where it was more of a luxury back then. And I think that's probably one of the reasons, actually, the recession was so tough, because it was the first thing to be chopped when things went south. But now it's a staple of planning applications, of marketing campaigns for developments and stuff, you know. And we've I suppose done well in sort of getting into that sort of area and establishing ourselves in the AEC sector for all things 3D.
Yeah, that's great. And I do want to get into, because we released quite an interesting video during the week of the quality of 3D Design Bureau in our images from I think it was from 2002. Obviously, the business was set up in 2000. But from 2002, some of our images from them.
Careful now, because I was still working on those. So you want to be careful.
I'm sure they were good for the time, but when you compare them to our stuff now, chalk and cheese. I do want to get into that, but just a couple of, I suppose, formalities. Where to find us if you are one of those four people, my mum included. So if you are looking to find the podcast, we're going to be releasing it on Thursday mornings. Every second Thursday or every month, we haven't quite decided yet. Depends if that goes from 4 to 5 listeners, but we will be releasing it every Thursday morning, and it's wherever you get your podcasts, so on Spotify, on iTunes, and we'll be releasing the YouTube version where you get to see our lovely faces. So if you're in any way squeamish, do avoid that one. But it will be every Thursday that we're releasing these. And today's topic for... the podcast is answering the web's most asked questions about architectural visualization. And Nick, with over 20 years of experience, I'm hoping you can put a full stop, I suppose, on some of the queries, because there is a lot of misinformation out there about architectural visualization.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is terminology as well. Like when it comes to people who are working in the industry, you know, terminology is fine and understandable across the board, but you do get a lot of misinterpretation from the client side on terminology and what to ask for. And then you've got people who are trying to get into this game, whether that be freelancers, you know, how like often get asked, you know, about how to get into it and stuff. And I'd say that's probably one of the top questions, you know. So there's lots of different information that I, from my experience over the years, that I can depart with, you know what I mean, which will hopefully resonate with some of our listeners.
Yeah, perfect. So I think without further ado, we will get into those questions. I'm sure you are all on the edge of your seats now waiting for this. So just for a background on the research.
What do I have to call you, by the way, now? Because you sound very formal and stuff. So what do I have to call you? Like, you know, you've got your favorite podcast to listen to. What's the person in the control room?
that's a good question. No, I'm not quite RTE. I don't think I have that monotone of a reporting voice. I don't know. Whatever you want to call me.
I don't think we can record that.
People in the office, I think I'm the only person from Cavan in the office. So a lot of people like to just call me Cavan. It's close enough to Kevin. So that's what I usually get.
Right, we'll call you Cavan.
Cavan for now, that'll do. For background of where we found the most asked questions is we took a series of like keywords taken from Google, from questions asked on Quora, on Reddit, and we picked the top 10 questions that I feel Nick is going to be able to answer. Let's get into it. So the first question that always pops up on Reddit is, how do I become an architectural visualizer, and do I need a degree to become one?
No, you don't need a degree. Like a lot of people who are in architectural visualization may have a degree in architecture or engineering, like when you look at my background and how I got into this game. And then you do get a lot of architects who, or even architectural technologists who go into architecture and then just have a flair for the visualization side of it. So in terms of having to have a degree, no, you don't. One of the biggest things that I look for is talent, you know, and I think this spans any sort of profession, sports person, anything. To be the best you can be, you just have to be practice, you know. And funny enough, I'll always look at a CV secondary to what looking at a portfolio. If a portfolio grabs my attention, I'll then go to the CV. So CV is kind of secondary to what sort of talent they have, what sort of portfolio, what sort of projects. And what I find actually sometimes is you'll get an architectural visualizer and their portfolio will focus too heavily on one specific type of deliverable, whether that's interior CGIs or whether that's exterior CGIs. So if you're going to pigeon, if you're going to go down a road, a very specific road, make sure that you state that, okay? Because, you know, or else update your portfolio to have a broad spectrum. So for example, on our visualizers here, we really try and work on them being across the board in terms of exteriors, interiors, animations. It is difficult, I'll say, because some people are just more talented at certain areas, you know. So So you will get that with freelancers. But in terms of qualifications, no. But there are qualifications out there. There are you know, online courses. There's also colleges that you know, will do a their syllabus will be modeling, visualization, even physical model making. And then you can specialize after a couple of years into the area that fits your talent and your desires, like in terms of where you want to go with your profession.
Perfect. Yeah. So, like, it's not a lot of industries do require that degree, but for you looking at CVs, it's mainly the portfolio, or I suppose the proof that
Yeah, for architectural visualization, 100%. Like, you know, like you can have all the qualifications you want, but if you can't produce good imagery. Now, we are only talking right now specifically about architectural visualization. So, you know, like there are other areas of the business where, yes, I would look at qualifications, you know, because they're going to be important. Because they're more technical areas of the business. So that's a different kettle of fish. But for architectural visualization, 100% would look at the portfolio first, and secondary, then look at the qualifications.
You know? Yeah, perfect. Like for us here, it's usually we do require people to have 2 years experience, but again, it is the portfolio that is the end all.
Yeah, you can have someone that's massively talented who's like a year's experience. You know, like it doesn't matter if you can have. I've seen stuff online and people have been working for 10, 15 years and their work might not be as good as someone who's got 1 to 2 years mm-hmm. experience. You know, so it is about you know, the quality of your portfolio and to get that quality though, you have to be working. You have to eat, sleep, breed, whatever you, if you want to be the best at what you can do, and that, whether that's in your profession, whether it's sport, whether it's your personal life, you have to just, it's that, you know, that 10,000 hour rule, where to be, what you call the best at something, not the best, but to be able to be, consider yourself the best in your eyes at something, it's the 10,000 hour rule. So it's, you know, I've seen it where you get someone who you will get a lot of visualizers who will transition, who will do modeling themselves and stuff, and they'll be very good modelers as well, and they've come from a modeling background but prefer the visualization. So you'll get that crossover of those type, and a bit of post production, but they have to be working in the software of visualization 24/7. You know what I mean? To be amazing at what they at visualization.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned modeling, 3D modeling. By way of plugging the company, we are actually hiring Revit modelers at the moment. So if the...
That's like good segue, Ken.
just throwing that out there now. If there is anyone interested, just drop us an email to info@3ddesignbureau.com.
Yeah. Revit modelers are always welcome, all right?
Yeah, we never have enough. So yeah, that's perfect. Thanks very much for that, Nick. The next question is, how much does architectural visualization cost?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. How long is a piece of string? You know, it varies across the deliverables. The first and foremost, and if you're a freelancer or you're new to the game, this is really important. Don't be afraid to ask the client or push the client for what's the scope of work. Okay. If you're out there touting for business and you're trying to get business, you may be reluctant to push to find out what it is. But a lot of the time, the client actually doesn't know what they want. Okay, so don't be afraid to ask, have you got a budget? And we tend to we tend to ask that in particular on when new potential new clients come on board, and they might come with, you know, this great idea of this big project, and immediately we're like, okay, we can tell they're not going to have the budget for this. So it just varies. It can vary from, you know what I mean, 600 or 700 euros up to 10, 20, 30,000, 40,000, depending on the scope. And that can be anything from a single image up to full 3D exterior, interior animation, off plans, virtual tour. You know, it really is, scoping out the project is really important, and how much work is going to go into it. And also being, not leaving yourself short, because in this industry, it's unbelievable how you have to roll with the punches and accept that things are going to change on a project. Okay, if you think a project is going to come in the door and go out with no changes, or you're sorely mistaken. So you have to be able to absorb that. That's really, really important. So yeah, like it really depends on the scope of work. So it's finding out the scope of work in order to get the right pricing involved. And you'll find if you're starting in the industry as well, you might lowball other companies or other freelancers and stuff. That could be a slippery road to go on as well, because if you go down to that, to a low level, and you're producing high quality work, it's very difficult to get that that costing up again. So just to be aware of that, like, you know what I mean, because there'll be an expectation on the client side that you're doing stuff for next to nothing, and that might work for a couple of projects, but then it'll wear very thin after a few projects, you know, when you're maybe put through the ringer. Like,
yeah. So the short of it is that there's no set cost for architectural visualization. I see other companies tend to put a price per view, or like a price per CGI, but it's very difficult to do.
Yeah, I don't know how they. I've seen that, and then you might get a comment from a client going, "Oh, I can get this work done in X country or X region for, you know, I mean, much cheaper. They're quoting X amount per visual." But I've never understood that, because you could have a visual of a box, like room interior with a couch and a very small interior. And then you could have like quite a detail. Like a perfect example is we're working on a bar restaurant interior, set of interiors at the moment for somewhere in the States. And the level of detail, like in the modeling alone, is phenomenal. Like it's really ornate, really detailed modeling. And we've had to model a lot of furniture and trying to do asset matching for the interiors. I can't see how you can give a set cost for something like that versus a standard three-bedroom house living room. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I never understood that. It's something I'd never subscribe to, because you're going to get caught out on it. You know what I mean? Where, you know, you've got to remember, like, at the end of the month, you've got to pay your bills, you've got to pay your team, and if you're not making, if the projects, if you're bracing it on that and you're losing money, well then your company's only, your business is only going to go one way, you know what I mean? It's, you know, rule 101, like, you know. So I don't subscribe to that, I have to say.
Yeah, it's almost like a front, like giving clients an expectation if they think that it's going to be cost per view, and then when it comes to the project, the people that do it per cost per view will have to raise the cost or the price level depending on the level of detail.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know if that is the case. I don't know if they, I don't know if they hold true to it. I'm sure they have to on the first project. But like if they get a client who's going to put them through the ringer for like $200 for an interior CGI, you know what I mean? That's fine. But like, you know, if they can afford that, if they're in a country where it's very the cost of living is through the floor, like, you know what I mean? But still, you've got to charge your worth. Like what we do is, it used to be looked upon as, you know, oh, it's just, isn't it like a pretty image and stuff, but what we do is very specialized. Like it's a very specialized industry what we do, and it's not like what some people think, they'll click at a button, they'll 3 and D on the keyboard and voila and everything's done. Like a lot of effort and a lot of talent and hard work goes into producing everything from like a single small interior to a full massive development, and whether that's images, technical reports for daylight, sunlight, animation, off-plan stores, like a huge amount of work goes into it, huge amount of work. So, you know, you have to charge your work. I remember during the recession, and actually I saw it only, I opened the wardrobe door. I still have stuff on the back of my wardrobe door that got me through the recession, just, you know, quotes I'd come across or just messages to myself. And actually there's one on it that says, you are worth what you are charging for the work you do, or something along those lines, to say, don't charge next to nothing and be just being a busy fool. It's just not worth it. You know, that's not what it's about. Like, you know what I mean? If you're producing quality, you're servicing clients really well, then charge for it, you know, and be fair. Like, we are fair, and we've got a very, we constantly monitor our pricing structure and stuff, and we're very comfortable where we are in the industry. And some people say, look, you're too expensive, and it's like, well, that's fair enough. But when you go into the city, when a project goes through the system here, or a new client goes through the team here, they realize, oh, that's what I'm paying for.
Yeah.
And it's like any industry. It's like any industry.
Yeah, no, sounds good. I suppose if there is a studio out there that charges per view on their website or however you do it, let us know how you manage that. It's not something we do ourselves, so we'd be interested to know how that's managed on a project-by-project basis. But yeah, perfect. Thanks very much again, Nick. The next question is another pinch point of yours, is how long does it take to produce architectural visualizations?
Yeah, again, it's the exact same as costing. Like, you know, you just can't. You'll get a client who'll always say, look, can you do it in this period of time? And you'll evaluate it, you'll evaluate schedules, and you'll go, yes, no. And to be honest, don't ever promise and not deliver. It's a thing we do here, is like, if we can't do it, we're going to just tell you we can't do it. It's just your time frame is not realistic, but this is the time frame we can do it in. Generally, our projects will fall into like our 2 to 4 week project time frame. A very small job will be 0 to 2 weeks, 2 to 4, 4 to 6, 6 to 8. Anything over 8 or 10 weeks is a very big project, and with a lot of deliverables and stuff. And then you also have to factor in that there's always going to be back and forth on a project, and you have to factor that in. So it's about managing that as well, and managing comments coming back in the project, because anyone who thinks that they're not going to get comments back on a project is just not really in the real world. It's not how this industry works. And it's the same with other consultants, like architects, engineers and stuff. It's the same. And you just have to roll with it. You know what I mean? Providing that you're not getting absolutely screwed on cost or fingers being pointed, you're delaying this. And generally our the work we do is towards the end of the chain, you know what I mean? So that can be a challenge at times, you know, but it's we manage it well, and it's about managing it, because if you don't get out in front of it and manage it, and you let time frames slip, you could work up a reputation you know, for being great at delivering. But if you let that slip for a month or two, I can tell you now that that reputation will overshadow 4 or 5 years of a reputation you've built up. So you just have to be honest up front with the clients from the very beginning in terms of time frames, and just stick to them, you know what I mean? Make sure you schedule them. Clients prefer it anyway. A lot of the time, look, you know, you ask for stuff. If you're getting stuff done in your house, or you're getting your ordering something that has to be made, you'll always push and say, oh no, I need it sooner. But then when they upfront and say, look, I can't get it for you sooner, you know what I mean? If you want it, it's going to be good quality. We'll give it to you. Don't worry. But if that's the time frame, and that's grand. It's when it goes over that then that you have a problem. So a lot of the time, you know, once you're upfront, and always as well, be proactive. That's a big thing for us. It's being proactive. If there is going to be delays, and sometimes there is, just for circumstances outside your control, like a team member goes sick or something like that, be upfront. Don't try and hide in the background. Go and tell the client, look, I know we said we're going to deliver next Monday, but it's actually going to be Wednesday because we had a bit of a problem with scheduling. It's there, we're aware of it, we'll deliver on Wednesday. But don't then fail to deliver on Wednesday. So yeah, just time frames will always move up and back, forwards and backwards, always. But you have to manage them. You have to manage them well.
Yeah, always best to under promise and over deliver, especially in this industry where time is money and everyone has a deadline that was yesterday. It's vitally important just to keep the reputation there that we do deliver on time and always to expectation.
Yeah, big time. Cool.
So next question is kind of a general one, I suppose. It was found on Quora, one of the top questions about architectural visualization, and it is, why do we need it? Why do we need 3D visualizations? You could chat for hours on that one.
You 100% could. But as I was saying earlier, it was more of a luxury back 20 years ago. Now it's a necessity. It's a requirement. It's paramount for every planning application. Like, I've heard of planning applications. I've heard of one planning application recently near us that went in without any visuals and stuff. And it, absolutely pointless, right? Completely and utterly pointless, especially where a development is going to be sensitive. And right now with the industry we're in, all development is sensitive because it's always in around someone's residential amenity or residential neighborhood or something. So there's always going to be controversy around development. Without showing the picture of what that's going to be like through technical verified views and CGIs to the plan, and then going to the planning authority, going through pages and pages of drawings and stuff, those days are gone. The first thing planning authorities look for is like, where's the visuals? Where's the verified views? Where's the CGIs? It is just paramount that every planning application, and likewise with marketing, you can't bring developments to market anymore without CGIs. Like the first thing, everything is instant gratification now across the board with all of us. So you want to see what something looks like before you go and purchase it, whether that's, a pair of shoes, piece of clothing, and especially, if you're going to be buying an apartment, you want to see what the outside, inside looks like, all that sort of stuff. So it is 100% essential now, and it's something that's only growing, and it's seen across the board with all, like, we used to sit, I'd say, a little bit maybe under the table years and years and years ago, as we wouldn't have really been considered consultants. We're consultants now. We're CGI consultants. We advise on everything from viewpoints to how to get the best views for development and stuff. So we sit at the table with the design team, with the architects, the planning consultants, the landscape architects, and we work very closely with them. We work as part of the team now for planning applications and for marketing, where we sit with them with agents. So it's a totally different kettle of fish now. It's paramount now, across the board.
Yeah, it's huge for marketing. Like you said, a lot of the larger developments over 150 units now are coming to us for the off plans, tours, and the CGIs.
And COVID has fed into that, because you can't get onto a site. And funny enough, like, people want to sell off plans again. So the off plans tour, when you're producing, where we're producing, a bit of a humble brag, where we're producing high quality work that a virtual show house is pretty much like looking at the real thing, it's golden for the client and it's golden for the purchaser, providing then that when they walk into that show house, when it's built, or when they walk into their house, it matches that. But we work really closely with the interior designers, and it can be a little bit painful at times, with the amount of comments we get back, but we absorb it, and what it does is it gives an amazing end product. But what we produce as a virtual show house is exactly how the houses are going to be built. And that's really important, because what that does is then the buyer walks in when they have built, say, the show house, and they walk in, they put the deposit down the house, they walk in the show house and go, Jesus, we've seen this. Like, we've toured this house. We now have confidence in the builder that they're going to build it exactly like they've shown it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like your Homer Simpson thing where he holds up the package at the barbecue and pulls it down and it's just a mess over in the corner. Do you know what I mean? So it's really important. Like, and that's where, quality really stands out. Like, and where it's really important.
Good. Yeah. So bottom line, it is important. The architecture visualization.
Yeah.
Next question, again, is kind of just a general question people don't know, but what's the difference between an architectural model and architectural visualization?
Oh, it's really simple. Architectural visualization is a process. Architectural model is the digital asset, or it could be a physical architectural model. Mm. So it's the model is what we do the visualization process on. So the model is one stage of it. So we model it, digitally model it. And then for the visualization, we do all the texturing, lighting, scene setup, camera setup, asset population, then rendering of draft images, whether that's structural draft, material drafts, animation, camera paths, editing, rendering, post-production. So the visualization is the actual process, whereas the model is the actual asset we use to visualize.
Good stuff. And now one that is, I suppose it's subjective, but it is definitely best practice for us, is what is the best 3D software for architectural visualization?
This will split the camp of, you know what I mean, visualizers. Like in terms of the clients, they don't care. They just want, they don't care what software you're using. But I, like our go-to has always been 3D Studio Max. We use V-Ray. I know a lot of visualizers now are looking at Corona or have transitioned across. It does give lovely renders, but it's a different process. So that can be, we haven't switched over, but we are looking now at moving to real time. So using Unreal Engine and Unity. We do all our modeling in Revit because we do daylight sunlight using Revit, and we're doing BIM. So Revit is our go-to modeling tool, and we have the team all in Revit. But for visualization, it's all 3D Studio Max. Like the other softwares out there, cheaper softwares like Cinema 4D, Blender, Rhino, and they give, you know, some people are real experts in that, but I would say as an industry standard, it's 3D Studio Max and V-Ray as a plugin, renderer plugin, with then probably Corona in the background. 3D Studio Max used to come with Mental Ray as well, I think, but doesn't. I think that's discontinued. So yeah, that's our go-to. But you know, it just varies. SketchUp as well. There's a plugin, a lighter version of V-Ray for SketchUp. A lot of architects will use SketchUp and do a bit of visualization. And Lumion is a big thing with ArchiCAD, I think, is a plugin for ArchiCAD where a lot of architects are doing it in-house. I still haven't yet to see high-quality architectural visualization from the likes of Lumion, but then you've got to realize that a lot of people who are using Lumion are probably using it secondary just to visualize their architectural designs, where their main focus is architecture. Do you know what I mean? So whereas, you know, if you're going to be a visualizer, I'd say, being honest, you're probably going to find the vast majority are using the likes of 3D Studio Max, Unreal Engine, Cinema 4D, Blender, and Rhino.
Good stuff. And you mentioned that we model in Revit, and that kind of ties into the next question here, which is about architects and what is the top benefits of 3D visualization technology for architects?
Yeah, like, you know, as I said, SketchUp is a big go-to now. You know, it's still a big go-to. You know, sometimes we take in SketchUp models, but it just, we'd only use them for visualization. But then again, we prefer doing the modeling ourselves because we have more control over any changes that come in, so we can absorb a bit of that. But like, as I said, like Revit has plugins now that I think there's even a V-Ray plugin for Revit. It'll be a light version of it. And then ArchiCAD likewise. So yeah, they'd be the main ones I'd say that the architects will use. You got to realize that with architectural visualization, it's very specialized. It needs, you have to be working 24/7 in it to be very good at it. So if you're doing something, if an architectural practice is doing it, they don't have it in-house and they're expecting their architects to do the visualization as well, you'd be surprised how quickly the time gets sucked away from what they should be really doing. Do you know what I mean? It's lovely to see their designs come to life with the, even if it's in a sort of more basic format, but you've got to realize that that takes away from more important time of what they should be doing in their role. So hence why we've grown the way we've grown, because we specialize, one of the area of the company is specialized in architectural visualization. So, and we're really good at it. So, and we love it, and we've got a good team. So that's why a huge amount of architects and clients come to us.
Yeah, good stuff. That's all the questions. Nick, would you believe?
All right. Well, that's good, because I was just about to say, the time is running. We'd be doing well now, I'd say, if you get 30 minutes, someone watch over 30 minutes, but if they do, fantastic. Yeah, and as you said, you know, check it out. I always love to hear what type of, if there's anything that we want to discuss and stuff, that'd be great, because it's always good to be fed some topics. All good.
Yeah, thanks for that. On that, guys, yeah, if you do have any suggestions for what you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, you can get us on Twitter at 3D Design Bureau, on Instagram with the same name, and any other social platform, we're on them all. We're on LinkedIn, Pinterest, Facebook, TikTok, would you believe? So yeah, we're on all the
TikTok.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Nick on TikTok.
I'm not on
now,
TikTok.
But,
no, that's not going to happen.
A very hard sell. But yeah, thanks very much for listening, and do get in touch. We do need a name for the podcast. We're thinking the 3D Design Podcast or the 3D Design Pod. If you have any name suggestions, do get in touch as well.
All right. Thanks a lot,
guys.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah.